Very interesting stat that I saw this week, that there are more men who attend church on Mother's Day in ratio than any other time. Why? Because a mama's got power. She can get a brother to church. Can I have an amen on that? I want to talk to you today, and we're going to frame this in a different way than we normally do New Life Church. So if you do not have a home church, if you do have a home church, stay in that church. But if you don't have a home church and you do not like the format of today's teaching, I don't blame you. But it's not common because I'm going to be talking about women that have influenced me, and it's just my story. And so we're not going to be teaching the word like we commonly lay it out. But I do believe we're going to learn more today than we commonly do. We're in a series right now, and we've decided to stay in the series. And it comes from this passage of Scripture in Psalms 23, where it says, "The Lord is my shepherd, and I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures, and he leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths," and that's the title of our series, Path, "for his name's sake." I want to say to all the ladies that are here, moms, grandmothers, we want to honor you and celebrate this very day through the word of God. But some women may want to run and hide on Mother's Day. It's just the facts. Because the pain can be real. Maybe because you're not able to have a child and you want to. Or to have another child and you haven't been able to, or like some moms that I know, they lost a child. Maybe you lost a mother this particular year, or maybe it was years ago and you still remember it like it was last week. Mother's Day can seem like a bright spotlight on an empty heart at times. So if today you cried during worship and you sensed the presence of God, I just want you to know, so let it be, because the Holy Spirit loves to minister to people, and church should always be a safe place to be healed. Can I have an amen on that? And in fact, ladies, we celebrate you. You are seen and you are needed, and Jesus loves you each and every day. Happy Mother's Day. Let's give the moms a hand. Come on here today. So, we're going to have a good time going through the Word of God, but I found just two verses I want to read to start this. Isaiah 66 and verse 13 says, "As one whom his mother comforts," this is the Lord speaking, he said, "so I will comfort you." I want you to see that. Even the Lord knows, hey, the way I'm going to comfort you is the way a mom can comfort. It's amazing, a mom. But let me give the moms a break. Because there are no moms, including the moms that I'm going to brag about today, they all have weaknesses. Moms make mistakes. But I believe it's the Lord's will for us to remember what they have done well. Ladies, moms, I love the fact that God shows his grace because he doesn't even allow a kid to have a memory until about 5 or 6 years of age. That's a gift from heaven. But the scripture says in Leviticus 19:3, "Every one of you shall revere his mom." And women, what I've noticed about women is that they help us see. That's the title of my talk. They can help a brother see. Not long ago, within the last several months, I was in a public restroom washing my hands. And while I was washing my hands, a lady walked in. And when she did, she freaked, and I pointed at her, I said, "You're in the wrong bathroom." She goes, "I'm sorry." And she walked out. I was like, "I'm the Messiah of this bathroom." But then she walked back in and she goes, "No, sir, you're in the wrong bathroom." That feeling. I walked out and looked at the sign, "Ladies." I was looking at that going like, how did I not see that? How did I not see that? That's what women do for men. They point out things that you should have seen, but you did not see it. One example of that is we were at Disney World when all of our kids were real little, which is a very relaxing vacation. And I could not find Grace, and I panicked. It's like, what is going on? And so Michelle was there. I said, Michelle, where's Grace? Where's Grace? And my wife started laughing. Come on, baby. Where's Grace? She laughed louder. And then she said, Grace is on your shoulders. Women help us see what we don't see. People don't see what they don't see. But it doesn't mean what we don't see isn't there. It simply means our eyes are not trained to look for it. And no moms are perfect, but the scripture asks for us in families, listen, here's what makes a great family. It's not perfection. It's forgiveness. In Ephesians 4:31, it says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you. Like, get it out. Along with all malice, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God and Christ forgave you. If you appreciate the forgiveness of the Lord, would you put your hands together today? Because He is a forgiver. Yes. This all reminds me of a Boudreaux joke. Boudreaux, when he was in the third grade, he went home and he said, hey, Dad, you had a contest today in the third grade and on who had the biggest foot. He said, my foot was bigger than everybody else by twice as much. Dad, is that occasion thing? He said, no, son, it's the fact that you're 20 years old. You may say you have 20 years experience in your walk with God, but I find that sometimes it's just 1 year repeated 20 times. And I think that if you listen to the wise people around you, you can get out of these cycles that cause us to repeat, 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 like the children of Israel. It could have been a few days they were in that wilderness, but they spent 40 years. Repeat, repeat, repeat. I thought it would be a cool idea for us to learn from a few women of influence in my life, and I wish I could hear from some of the stories in your life. Number one, be a servant. I learned that from my mom, one of the hardest workers that I've ever met. That's my mom, Miss B. I know one day she's going to go to heaven, and I'm convinced when she gets to heaven that all of heaven is going to go crazy. It's like party time. But people back here, some of us are going to be hurting in a huge way because she's amazing. I want to apologize to my mom for all the pain that's been shown in your home, all the regret, all the tears and the late nights that my brother Randy put you through. And my mom has so many funny stories. I never know if they're true or not. She told me one story that when I was 3 years old, I was still sucking my thumb, and then four, and then five. She tried everything. So one day, she put Tabasco on my thumb. And by being a Cajun, I thought it was like, it was a meal. So I just, it didn't work. So one day, apparently, she told me, if you keep sucking your thumb, it's going to swell you up. Like, you're going to get fat, huge. You can't just keep doing that. It's going to make you huge. I was like, what? Really? Yes, you're the age. If you don't stop, it's going to make you fat. It's like, man, I need to slow this down. So I was at a grocery store that same day, and a pregnant lady, 9 months pregnant, walked by me, and I went over to her, and I said, I know what you've been doing. Oh, Lord, mercy. That's funny right there. I don't care what you say. My mom is a servant, and I've often said, my mom will not even like you if you don't let her serve you. There's a lot of women like that. Like, if my mom doesn't like somebody, it's typically someone that doesn't need her. She will move on. For example, my son pastors a church in Greenbrier now, and my mom moved on. She's a betrayer. She left me to go and pastor and help serve the pastor of that church, my son, Hunter. My mom, she shows that she cares each and every day. There's a saying that says, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. My mom cares, but she will also tell you how much she knows. But I love that lady. My mom walks into a room that is broken and she fixes it. She walks into a room where someone is hurting and she nurses it. She walks into a church that has a mess and she cleans it. She sees needs and she serves it. In Mark chapter 10 and verse 45, it says, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. So many women are Christ-like in their serving. Even this week on Wednesday, there's a family that is living with us right now for the week. They sold their home, and it's Dr. Brandon O'Brien and then Amy. And they made a meal for us, and it was time to eat. And Amy had worked in for this particular meal, and they insisted on that. But it was time for us to sit down and eat, and that's exactly what we did. But she has a two-year-old, Eliza, and Eliza had to go to the bathroom. This mom just got up and took care of Eliza. We're all eating, if I'm not mistaken about that. She goes in the bathroom, and Eliza peed all over the floor, all over herself, and all over her mom. We didn't know that was happening. How many moms have ever been peed on by another human that lives in your house? And she just took care of it, cleaned everything, and then came and sat down and never said a word, just did it. And I was like, if that would have happened to me, I would have bragged about that for 25 minutes. Y'all are not going to believe what I just did. Never complain. Jesus. John chapter 13 and verse 5. Think about it. This is your Lord and Savior. Here's the heart of your Lord. After that, so they're all seated in this room. After that, he poured water into a basin and he began to wash the disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. Very interesting. A few things. Could you look here just for a minute? Jesus knew when you walked with him that there was going to be dirt that was clinging to you. And this is the reason why he asked for people to serve, because sometimes there's a mess around us. But he took his robe off, his judge's robe, to do it. You can't wear a judge's robe to serve someone. You're going to have to see the need through the eyes of compassion like Christ. You may say, well, I don't want to serve just anybody because some people take advantage of me. But Jesus washed the feet of Judas, knowing full well what Judas would do. I've seen my mom sacrifice everything she has to serve. She can't work like she used to, but somehow she still does. She calls people. She rallies troops behind others. She just told me this week, my mom, all of her life, she always said, Rick, see the need. Like, you're moving through life. You have a lot of energy. You have a lot to do. But when you see a need, you stop what you're doing and you look into the eyes of it and you listen to it. Just yesterday, my mom texted me about a family that we know really well whose daughter she's sick. And my mom basically said, stop what you're doing and call this family. My mom taught me to notice. She still sends people flowers and makes food for them and reaches out to them in the foyer. She's amazing. Second point, be a fighter. Be a fighter. So many men are wimps. So many women are tough. My mother-in-law, Diane, wants you to look over and notice that there is no picture of her. And the reason why is because this week on several different occasions, here's my theory, I asked Michelle to give me a picture of her mom, and she said, I'll get to it. Michelle, need a picture of your mom? I'll get to it. Michelle, need a picture of your mom? I'll get to it. And then it hit me. She doesn't want to look through those pictures. She lost her mom several years ago. And who wants to go and look at those pics? Diane was a fighter. Anyone can fight for what they want. But Diane, she fought for what you wanted. She got kidney disease. Many years ago, when she was younger, she had a staph infection. Somehow, they believed that it attacked her kidney because her kidney started dying. Then, through the decades, she would have it tested every year, and then the numbers were not good at some point, and she had to go on kidney dialysis, and that is what killed her. But not only did she fight that with incredible intensity, but one day there was a tree that fell on my whole family. It was a crazy day, a beautiful day, no wind, no rain, no weather, really, but the tree just fell and hit my kids. Two of them were in a stroller. One limb hit right between two of them. One kid was on a tricycle, and the limbs missed everybody, but it hit Diane a little bit. And she was never quite the same after that. And then she had a stroke and then dialysis. The access blew out countless times. One time her heart stopped and she had cervical cancer. She could have taken the easy way out. Like, just don't do dialysis for a week. But she never did that. She pushed so my kids had a Grammy a little longer. And to see more grandchildren. She once told an aide she wanted to be with Jesus. Like, I want to go to heaven, but I don't want to hurt my family. 2 Timothy 4:7 says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness. She got that. Which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. The biggest regret that I have in my life, in my marriage with Michelle, is after her mom died, I didn't pick up on the grief of that. And in fact, I just kept moving through life. I didn't check the oil enough with Michelle. And then it was sometime later, close to a year, that Michelle just opened up to me and she said something like, you don't understand what's going on. She goes, when I have something great that happens, I don't have my mom to call to celebrate. And when something bad happens, I don't have my mom to call to pray with me. She goes, and that hurts. That's the only bad memory I really have of Diane. And it was after she went to heaven. This lady was amazing. A lot of people have frustration with their mother-in-laws, but I never did. I mean, I only have one bad memory. Towards the end of her life, she was on a lot of medication because of the pain, and she was a little loopy. And then one day I walked in, and I looked out, hey, Diane. And she pointed at me, and she said, you've never liked my cooking, ever. And I was thinking, how does she know that? Because that woman is from the north, and they can't cook. One day, Michelle went to visit her, and I was out and about. She walked into the room where her mom was loopy, and she said, your shirt is too low cut, out of control. And Michelle's like, never been. She called me, Rick, I'm horrified. My mom just said, my shirt is too low cut. I said, where are you? I want to see. The night that Diane died, Michelle's dad took off her wedding ring and then turned to my wife and put it on her hand. And every time I see that ring, or a lot of times when I do, I remember Diane's legacy to be a fighter is on Michelle. Number 3, beauty inside and out. Here's my daughters. On the far right is my daughter-in-law, Katie, who married my son, Hunter. You can learn from her kindness, just like she's just always kind. Like, I can't believe it. Haley, you're around her, you would notice to live life to the fullest, like every day counts in her life. Michelle, I'll talk about in a minute. And then Grace on the far left is my daughter who's so chilled, like no drama anywhere in her life. She's just always so calm. Grace doesn't smoke pot, but she acts like she just did. But here's what I want you guys to know. Probably shouldn't have said that. But I did plan on saying it. I said it last night. These girls are beautiful. But I'm going to tell you, this scripture reminds me of them. Because beauty, it's on the inside. Like some of the most beautiful women in the world have a lot of wrinkles. And if you could just look through that and see the heart of Christ. 1 Peter 3:3 says, your beauty should not come from outward adornment, such as elaborate hairstyles and the wearing of gold jewelry or fine clothes. There's nothing wrong with that stuff. But here's the truth of it. Rather, it should be that, like here's where it really comes from. It should be that of your inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and a quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. Can I have an amen on that? Michelle always taught our daughters that you are beautiful, but you're way more beautiful on the inside where the Lord is. One time Michelle was with a mom and her daughters were there and the lady's daughters were there, something like that. But the girls who were teenagers from this other lady had just came from like a soccer game or something and they weren't fixed up. And the lady kept apologizing to Michelle for her daughters not to be beautiful that day. And Michelle never said anything because she never confronts anybody with stuff. But Michelle called me and she said, Rick, this really bothered me. Beauty is as beauty does. It's something that is on the inside. And beauty is not what it shows on the outside. Physical attractiveness is about how one looks, but beauty includes much more of who a person is. And physical beauty will fade over time, but true beauty will last a lifetime. Can I have an amen on that? Number four, and I only have two more. Love like Jesus. And this is Michelle. Michelle doesn't just make people feel valued. She's never done that. She just values them. Like life is not about her. She doesn't want to talk about her. She will flip that. Like if you go to her to thank her or to talk about her or to brag on her, she's not like me. I'm like, keep it going. What else? Michelle, she will flip it back to you. I think at the end of Michelle's life, because of the way she loves people, it's going to be kind of like my mama. Like, we'll be at the funeral, and the first person will get up and go, well, I just want to be clear that Michelle loved me the most. And then that person will be done, and the next person goes, no, you're wrong about that. Michelle loved me the most. And then they will mosey on. And then someone else, no, Michelle loves me the most. And then at some point, we're going to all realize she loved us all the most. Michelle in the foyer for years, I've tried to teach her, to train her. Michelle, you can't just talk to one person the whole time. You've got to move around. So I named it the stick and move principle. You got to stick, but move. Stick and move. But she doesn't. She just sticks and then she sticks. She talks to the first person until they're done, because she values them. People like this are people you can't remember anything negative about them, because love covers a multitude of sin. Michelle found a quote one time from Mother Teresa. It said, keep the joy of loving God in your heart and share this joy with all that you meet. She's an incredible lady. Number five, and the last one, love Jesus. Love Jesus. Lift up your hand if you want to love the Lord even more. Come on. I believe that. So how can we learn from these ladies who aced this? My grandmother loved Jesus, but she talked about the Lord in a tangible way with no judgmentalism. That's the hardest part. Like sometimes when you fall in love with the Lord, you become a preacher and you think it's your call in life to preach at everyone. But what you must understand is that the one who really does this right is one who loves so much that people call on you for the information before you have to push it in. When my grandmother died, she didn't have much, and a lot of people wanted a lot of different little things that were in her home. But I wanted her prayer blanket, because every time I would go over, she was always cold, and she would cover herself with this prayer blanket. And I just wanted that. I know I need to be a person of prayer, and I miss that part of my life often. So I grabbed that, and we planted a church. I would just have it in my room where when we would pray. And this lady's just like, she every time she answered the phone, she would always answer the phone like this. Jesus loves you, with that Cajun accent. Oh, yeah, Jesus loves you. One time, a person called. This happened several times, I believe. One time, someone called her phone by accident. It was the wrong number, and she led that brother to the Lord. She was so kind. Like, if you went to her home, when you left, she would stand outside praying for you and saying bye and waving until you were out of sight. Like, she just was there, like, engaged. This lady loved the Lord. In Acts 22, verse 15, it says, you will be my witness to all people. This word witness in the Greek is very much like a courtroom term. It basically means that you're subpoenaed for information so the court can make a decision. That's what witness is. It's not standing up and preaching and yelling. It's being in love with the Lord where they finally call you over and say, hey, we have to make a decision. In this room, will you please let us know what this is? That's the word witness. So I don't know how it's going for you, but 5 minutes with my grandma and you would know she loved the Lord. And even if you were an atheist, you would want to take a chance on calling on the Lord. She had unmovable faith too. She prayed for her husband every day for decades to get saved. And he never did until the very end of his life. And somehow she seemed to be fine with that. But my grandmother relates to all of us at New Life Church, because my grandmother, she was dying when we moved here to plant the church. And she always prays. She said, oh, Rick, I'll just pray for you. And she was never satisfied when you would give your heart to the Lord. She also wanted you to be in the ministry somehow. And so when I moved to Arkansas, I had a dream, not a dream, but a hope that she would be at our first service. But she was fading fast. But I wanted her to pray over me before the first service. So I kept calling her, like 3 months out. Mama, you think you're going to be able to come? She goes, oh, Rick, I want to come. I just don't know. I feel good. 2 months, 1 month, she was frail, losing weight. And I called her, I said, the week of, Mama, you going to be able to come? She said, I just can't do it. So I hung up the phone and understood. I totally understood. But I asked for her to pray for us there in her chair with that prayer blanket. Well, it was Sunday morning, February the 4th, 2001, and I was in a room praying for the first service as a church in Arkansas. And then there was a knock on the door, and I opened the door, and it was my frail grandmother. And she said, oh, Rick, I just had to come, Sha. She walked into the room and prayed over me and the church. And I don't remember the prayer, but I remember certain words. It was like, I pray that this church will have the hand of God on it. I pray that this church will help the broken. I pray that this church will always have the presence of God and the Holy Spirit in every chair and row in the church. I pray that this church will be a church of integrity. And I pray that this church will be healing for the broken. All in Jesus' name, shall. Amen. Since that day until now, I've always felt the presence of the Lord building what we aim at doing. And it has to do with the influence of those ladies. We have to be thankful for the good parts of the women of God in our lives. Let's pray.